From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the San Diego Civic Theater in San Diego, California, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. We are delighted to be here in San Diego, and we're really excited about our guest on this week's show. Now, you see, years ago, the only thing people knew about San Diego was the San Diego Zoo. But since then, San Diego has become known for so much more than that. It's become known for historically corrupt congressmen and car elevators and one really creepy mayor. So we're going to be joined later by Rick Schwartz of the San Diego Zoo. We don't care what you've been up to in the last few years. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Roki from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Roki?
Hey.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Roki. That's a great name. It reminds me of one of my favorite television devices. What?
Here, my kids actually do think that I made that up.
I know.
Think that I discovered the Roku.
I'm going to press a button and see if I can pause you and talk to you later. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hi, Roki.
Next, a comedian performing June 27th at the Cullen Theater at the Wurram Center in Houston, Texas, Paula Poundstone. She's right here.
Hey, Roki.
Hi.
And a comedian and host of the Who's Paying Attention podcast, Mr. Alonzo Bowden.
Hello. Hello, Roki. My niece goes to school in Greensboro, so if you see her, tell her I'm not sending any money.
Roki, you're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is going to perform for you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Are you ready to go?
I am.
All right. Your first quote is literally the only part of a secret recording released this week that we feel comfortable repeating.
Wow.
Here we go. This is it.
Okay.
That's it. The rest of that recording just cost someone their job and $2.5 million this week. Who was it?
I have to admit, I was scared. I thought I was not going to know any of these questions, but I do believe that's Donald Sterling.
Very good, Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling is, of course, well, at least for now, the owner of the L.A. Clippers. He was taped by his girlfriend telling her that she couldn't bring black people to his basketball games. If he doesn't like black people, why did he buy a basketball team? If he only likes white people, fine. He should have bought a golf team. Or a public radio station.
Now, I have a personal connection to the Clippers because I actually tell women I used to play for the Clippers. Because no one knows who played for the Clippers. Depending on who I'm talking to, I was a Clipper anywhere from 86 to 89, somewhere in there. Yeah, it's pretty amazing to come out and say, I don't want black people at my basketball game. And to pick Magic Johnson, like the one guy that no matter how racist you possibly are, you still give a pass to Magic Johnson.
Right.
You're still like, well, Magic, he's all right.
Yeah. The new NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, lowered the boom on Sterling. A lifetime ban and the maximum fine he's allowed to levy, $2.5 million.
A ban meaning that he can't do what?
He can't go to the games, any games, any NBA games.
How will they know? I mean, don't you just buy a ticket and go in?
Hey, Paula, when you own the team and you say you hate black people, they're going to recognize you walking in.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the unfortunate things about this for Donald Sterling, and we know we feel sorry for him, it happened right before he was going to get his second Lifetime Achievement Award from the Los Angeles chapter of the NAACP.
They changed the words on the plaque.
Yeah, sure.
Achievement in racism.
And for outstanding achievements in racism.
He's a major donor. Well, for one thing, Sterling loves the NAACP. They're the only other ones who still say colored people.
That was a good one as far as I'm concerned.
Check that.
Somehow, Peter, I think I'm going to be the arbiter of every joke you do in this bit.
I think so.
I have to say this, Peter. I was at the game Tuesday night after the NBA came down with the decision, which... Yeah. The atmosphere was just electric and celebratory. It was, you know, people were everywhere and everyone was happy. But L.A. was prepared for trouble, and they had the riot police on horses, and the horses had face shields.
Really?
And I was like, how mad did you think black people were going to be? Like, did you really think we were like, man, I will punch a horse in the face?
Okay, Roki, here is your next quote.
It's the worst ever.
That was an official who had just visited Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. He says they are totally not ready for what's coming up in 2016.
The Olympics?
Yes, the Olympics. I know, we just got over the last one. A member of the Olympic Committee came to see how the preparations are going down there in Rio, and the entire construction crew came to the door to meet him in their pajamas. They said they were planning on starting the construction later this year, right after the season of Game of Thrones ends. Because, of course, thanks to Sochi, we're now used to Olympics happening in rundown, half-finished facilities. It's kind of fun. People are wondering what wild animals will be wandering around the hotels. What will infect Bob Costas' face this time?
I can't help but think that back in the 80s, the cocaine cartels... First of all, the workers would have had a lot more energy.
True.
And they just would have had the money to handle this. They just would have hired a smaller country to come in and build the facilities. I don't know. I think that, you know, you're going to be in Rio.
Yeah.
It's a Summer Olympics.
Yeah.
You open with women's beach volleyball. All the men in the world are like, facilities look good.
Yeah.
Everything looks good.
A-okay.
These are a great Olympics right here. This is.
Now, Roki, your last quote is a headline about a big celebrity engagement this week.
London human rights lawyer Amal Alamuddin is engaged.
That was Slate's treatment of the story. Amal Alamuddin got engaged to whom this week?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea.
Well, they were being ironic because it's really the person she got engaged to who's generally more well-known. Well, since you're an NPR listener, perhaps this will help. He's Rosemary Clooney's handsome nephew.
Would that be George?
There we go.
Various celebrity observers suggest that either Clooney, at the age of 52, has decided it's time to settle down with a distinguished international human rights lawyer, or more likely, he realized that as of last week, he had already dated all the cocktail waitresses in the world. There were none left. Now, people talk about how lucky she is. Oh, she landed George Clooney. But Ms. Alamuddin is an amazingly smart international lawyer. She speaks three languages fluently. She travels the world doing good work. Isn't she kind of marrying down? I mean, people say Clooney is pretty smart, but let's be honest, he's kind of beautiful person smart. One clue, he heard that in England, she works as a barrister. And he said to himself, well, that's great. She'll be able to make me all those fancy coffee drinks whenever I want.
And I'll never have to worry about falling on the stairs again.
Yeah.
Wait for it. That's a slow one.
Carl, how did Roki do in our quiz?
She got three right, Peter, so I'll be doing the message on her voicemail.
Well done, Roki. Thanks for playing.
Thank you, guys.